It's good to worship with you this All Saints Sunday, a day when we remember the dead, when we hold our shared grief among us and name the losses we have encountered, when we listen for the wisdom that our ancestors want to impart. Turn with me to the passage that Gretchen read this morning from the book of Ruth. This is an ancient parable that has plenty of resonance for today, more than we'll be able to unearth, but we turn to it to glean wisdom for today. We turn to it to glean restoration. We turn to it to glean healing. I say turn because that's a word that we find used over and over again in this narrative. Turn, return, turn back. The word turn appears 15 times in the 80 verses of this short book, and 12 in this very first chapter that we read today. So as we turn to the text, I invite you to look with me at its movement, its turning. So much happens in the first 5 verses of the text that we're almost dizzy from the turning. The long and short of it is that Naomi, Elimelech, and their 2 sons have fled Bethlehem and gone to Moab because there's a famine in the land. They ironically have to leave Bethlehem, which literally means house of bread, to go to Moab, enemy territory, a place despised by ancient Israelites. Perhaps you can think of some current day examples. Though Naomi and her family find bread in Moab, the losses pile up quickly for her. First her husband dies, then her 2 sons. The grief had to be overwhelming. These are the people she loved most in the world, and they're gone. And if that weren't enough, the reality is much worse. Naomi is now a widow and a woman in a foreign land, an immigrant, an alien, according to the Hebrew Bible. She is destitute with no way to protect herself or secure her basic needs. To say the deck is stacked against her is a profound understatement. She can't see a way out. Naomi does the only thing she can think to do. She turns towards home, the house of bread where the famine has now ended, though it seems that Naomi's famine has really just begun. Perhaps out of safety, perhaps out of desperation, perhaps out of obligation, her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, begin the journey with her. But before they make it out of Moab, Naomi implores them to turn back, to return to their mother's homes, to turn towards a future with a new husband and family for their security. After all, they are Moabite women. After resisting and lamenting, Orpah honors the wishes of her mother-in-law and turns back. Ruth has a different plan. She clings to Naomi and offers some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture, words that have been read at weddings for centuries. Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. I feel quite confident that I don't need to point out the irony that these words shared between 2 women are read over and over at weddings. If that's not scandalous enough, the fact that we even have the story of Naomi and Ruth in our sacred text is downright incredible. This is a story about women, told from their point of view in an ancient context, Women are the actors. Women are the courageous and resourceful ones. Women are the ones making a way out of no way. Turning our attention to Ruth, we don't have to look far to realize just how remarkable her promises and actions are. Ruth clings to Naomi, offering some of the most beautiful vows ever said. But this is no easy choice for Ruth the Moabite. Already a widow herself, she'll now be an immigrant in a land where Moabites are considered the enemy. Ruth knows that the deck is stacked against her, and she goes anyway. The pastor in me this All Saints Sunday sees this as one of the most profound examples of companioning with someone through grief and loss, as I can imagine. Ruth journeys with Naomi through her grief. She doesn't just wish her well or tell her husband and her sons are in a better place. If we keep reading, we will see that Ruth restores Naomi to community, making sure that she has food to eat and shelter. But that's not all. She reconnects Naomi to her family and homeland, knowing that we need love and belonging in addition to nourishment for our bodies and a place to lay our heads. Ruth reintegrates Naomi back into society. Anyone who's lived through profound loss knows just how disorienting and disconnecting it can be, and just how essential presence and support are. The liberation theologian in me says, of course we find a story of restoration in an immigrant, an outsider, a Moabite. Of course we find resurrection and new life in the faithfulness and vision of the widow, the one who knows loss and vulnerability. Of course we find healing in a woman viewed as property by her ancient Near Eastern society who stands powerfully, creatively, and imaginatively in the fullness of herself. Of course, salvation, liberation, restoration comes from the poor, the oppressed, the despised, the outcast, the immigrant, the widow. Salvation comes through Ruth. The justice-seeking, grieving, anxious, worried, hopeful human that is me says that I really needed to hear this story today. Let me explain. 2 days from now are the midterm elections. We've been looking to this day for more than 2 years. Truth is, I'm anxious about the elections. It's not that I don't have hope. It's that without even trying, I can feel the emotions of 2 short years ago and the devastation that followed as the returns came in. I can remember finding ways to hold space for our communities in Greenville. I can remember having difficult conversations and exchanges with family and friends. I can remember getting on the phone with the pastor search committee here. And they asked us if we were still willing to come to D.C. and be pastors in this new reality. Before they made their final decisions, they knew they needed to ask the question. We know all too well, 2 years later, that this administration has been as horrific, if not more so, than we could have imagined. So the honest truth of how I'm feeling this morning is anxious, hoping for good news, bracing for the worst. Maybe I'm the only one. I have a hunch I'm not. I believe that the story of Naomi and Ruth, the story of these saints, the story of the ancestors, offers us an alternate vision of community, a vision of what can happen when two women cling to one another, a vision of what happens when walls that separate us or keep us apart come tumbling down. With Naomi and Ruth, we find a story of restoration, even when the deck is stacked against them. We find a story of women making a way where there is no way. This is what it meant to be a saint. This is what it meant to hold one another's grief. This is what it means to hold the stories of our ancestors. I'm pretty sure you've been paying attention this week. I'm pretty sure you can think of an example of two women clinging to one another, one stumping for the other in Georgia, lifting each other up. Hopefully you also saw the story of 20 black women who have already been elected or who are certain to be elected in a single county in Tennessee, the one that contains Memphis. We don't know yet how the chips will fall this Tuesday night as the returns come in. What we do know is some of the most inspiring qualified diverse candidates we've seen in a long time are on the ballot. For those of us who are able, it's time to go vote if you haven't done so already. And as we go, we take with us into the voting booth those in our community who don't have the right to vote. We honor our ancestors who pressed so that we would have the right to vote. We cling to one another and live out our faith with our actions. This week, Dr. Raphael Warnock, pastor of Martin Luther King Jr.'s Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, reminded us that our voting is an act of worship. Our voting is a prayer for the kind of country we want to live in. Our voting is our liturgy, literally the work of the people. When we break bread together in just a moment, let's do so remembering Ruth and Naomi, remembering the saints, remembering that we gather nourishment here at this table so that we can go forth and live out our liturgy.